Kellogg. St. Helena, California, October 15, 1901. Dr. Kellogg. Dear brother, during the past night I have been unable to sleep. I feel greatly burdened. At times I am inclined to say, I will heed Elder Haskell's call to come to New York. Then again, it looks as if it would be perilous for me to take such a journey at this time of the year. But I want to see you, and talk with you and other of our leading brethren, Elder Daniels and Elder Prescott, who, I believe, are being led of the Lord and who will hear my testimony. I do not think it would be wise for me to say nothing in this crisis. It would not be right to allow things to go as they have gone since the conference. At that time, I had a message from the Lord. I know you received that message. But there is one feature in your work that burdens my soul. You are seeking to bring about that which the Lord cannot endorse. Principles are being advocated that God does not sanction. Principles which will bring in a train of evils that our brethren do not now discern. The Holy Spirit has opened this to me. If I should keep silent, the whole of our people would say, Sister White endorses this, or Sister White endorses that, when in reality I cannot harmonize with much that is being done. Thus, those who desire to accept what is right will be led to accept that which should not be sustained. Night after night I am in distress, walking the floor with a burden almost unendurable. I have a deep interest in you, my brother. The Lord has given me messages for you, warning you not to be as Nebuchadnezzar, filled with self-exaltation. You have before you every temptation to sway the work in such a way that God cannot put his signature upon it. Altogether, too much power and authority rests in your word. You are not sufficient for these things. The Lord must be the ruler. I advise that the document you sent me, which you said was to be presented to the managers and physicians in our sanitariums, shall not be urged upon anyone. For a while I did not dare to have this document read to me. I have been in great physical weakness, and I did not dare to give a decision that would mean so much. Finally, Sister Drouillard read the matter to me. I said, Please give me time to think of what you have read, that I may understand its meaning. It is a very strange production. That night, the matter was presented to me in its true bearing. I was shown what the results would be if the plans regarding this document were carried out. I said to Sister Drouillard, I shall not advise anyone to subscribe to that document. It is not to be accepted by our people, for it means oppression to all who sign it. The light given me is that it is not just to ask those in our sanitariums to bind themselves to comply with such terms. It is placing altogether too much power in human hands to be exercised according to human judgment. To place such power in the hands of man would lead to oppressive actions, which would be most harmful in their results. We know too well that human judgment sometimes goes very far astray. The enemy of God and man is still permitted to exercise his power to pervert judgment and to bring spiritual blindness. That document could mean the exercise of a power that I am to warn you and our people against. Let us remember that rules and restrictions can be strained, made to mean far more than the one understood who subscribed to them in order to relieve himself of difficulty. By thus binding himself, he placed himself where injustice and oppression constantly menaced him. The Lord sees the end from the beginning. Man, formed in his image, is his property, bought with an infinite price, even the blood of his Son. He says to man, Ye are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Man is to train and educate himself for the Lord, improving his gifts, that he may do better service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Body, soul, and spirit are to be consecrated to the Master. All his powers of thought, word, or deed are to be placed at God's disposal. They are to be used only in his service. God will call upon each one to give an account of his stewardship. Each will be expected to make a return proportionate to the goods entrusted to him.
Under no circumstances are God's people to make flesh their arm. They are the Lord's, to do his will, to look to him, to trust in him. They are to have faith that the Lord will work by his Holy Spirit if they preserve their individuality, refusing to bind themselves by signing contracts similar to the one presented to me. Their time is the Lord's. The money they earn is the Lord's. As stewards in trust, they are to use their gifts for him. No man is to bind himself in such a way as that represented by this document, and there must be no confederacies. But each sanitarium is to work in kindly fellowship with every other sanitarium. The relation between our sanitariums should be as close and tender as the relation between church members. No man, however high his position, has been given the right to force the conscience of a fellow man. Man is not to place himself where his position will be a temptation to another man to act unjustly. Those for whom Christ paid so great a price, those in whose behalf he endured humiliation, insult, and rejection, that he might secure their willing obedience and so elevate and ennoble them, are not to place themselves where they are liable to feel the despotism of another man. Men are under rule and pledge to God and to God alone. But all do not feel their responsibility in regard to the sacred trust that has been committed to them. Thus saith the Lord, soon changes will be made, and they will be so rapid that no one will stand whose feet are not set on the firm, sure foundation. Dr. Kellogg, you remember the conversation you had with me here at my home. You gave me a statement of what had taken place in the transactions between the school and the sanitarium at College View with regard to the College View Bakery. I listened to all you had to say, and then told you that if I found any reason for changing my opinion, you would hear from me. As yet, I have not changed my opinion in any wise. I have had light from the Lord that His Holy Spirit was grieved by the course pursued in the matter of the bakery transfer. Your course of action was in harmony with the contract you have drawn up. I hope such transactions will never be repeated. Neither side was fully in the right. Neither was controlled by the Holy Spirit. The matter might have been adjusted with kindness and good feeling if Bible directions had been followed. But the spirit of those who took part was opposed to the Spirit of God. This experience should make men afraid of men. The transaction was after the mind and will of a determined man, and is presented to me as something that will have to be adjusted. The Lord will not serve with such actions. God will deal personally with each one of us. There is but one chief shepherd, and he knows his sheep by name. He will call them by name and lead them out. This is a time of solemn, sacred privilege. It is a time of merciful forbearance on the part of God. If we desire to retain the favor of the Lord, we must now use every gift, every endowment in His service. The work resting on you places you in a position of great responsibility. You are to make to God a return that is proportionate to the gifts He has bestowed on you. You have been greatly favored by Him. He has worked with you in power, giving you skill to perform difficult operations, guiding your hand in these operations, enabling you to bring comfort and blessing to suffering humanity. This should fill you with great joy and thankfulness, giving you assurance and confidence in Him. You have made many blunders. You have done many things in accordance with your own will and your own way. Many times you have hurt the oil and the wine. Seeing that this is so, should you not have shown more mercy and forbearance in dealing with your brethren, who are just as dear to the heart of God as you are? The Lord expects a different showing from physicians and ministers in your business transactions. You are not to feel free to judge or condemn the motives of your brethren. Would you want your motives judged and condemned by them? God has given you special endowments. But because of this, you are not to feel that you can exert a kingly power. Your gifts are to be exercised with tenderness and compassion. In your work, there is to be no trace of a masterly, overbearing spirit. You are to be a representative of the Master, as one who has been in the companionship of Christ and the heavenly angels. The greater the tact and skill and ingenuity given you, the greater the need for you to show the tenderness, the kindness, and benevolence of the divine nature, and the greater the need for you to show an advanced spirituality.
While in Australia, I was shown that Dr. Kellogg would make terms to which our brethren must not bind themselves, because, in making these terms, Dr. Kellogg and his associates were not inspired by the Spirit of God. I was shown that this is a work of human invention, and that no such thing must come into our business dealings with one another, either as individuals or institutions. The heavenly messenger said to our brethren, "Sign not any document that may be presented to you, saying what you will do or what you will not do. The wheel of providence is turning constantly. My people are not to bind themselves to terms of this character. These papers are not of heavenly origin. They do not represent God or Christ. The light God gives men regarding the production of food is not to be confined to a favored few. The restrictions laid upon others with reference to these commodities are not pleasing to God. The same Lord who fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes is our Father, our Keeper. Let us not work away from Him, placing men where God should be. We are growing weak through following ill-advised methods. May God help us to keep our hands off our fellow men, and to forbid them not when God has given them a work to do. There is need of a thorough reformation, a thorough cleansing. Of ourselves, we have no power to keep in right paths for one moment. Neither can any other human being be trusted to keep us in right paths. Christ is our only dependence. He is a risen Savior. God gave Christ to die for us. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things that pertain to life and godliness? It is the Spirit's work to reach the conscience, that the heart stained with selfishness may be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And the heart that has been cleansed must be kept clean by obedience to Christ. The binding up of the sanitariums established in different parts of the world with the sanitarium at Battle Creek has always been forbidden. Each institution is to stand in its own responsibility. They will increase in strength and influence if they follow the light God has given, if they begin small and work carefully, not spending more than they make. There are men who do not move wisely. They are anxious to make a large appearance. They think that outward display will give them influence. In their work, they do not first sit down and count the cost to see whether they are able to finish what they have begun. Thus, they show their weakness. they show that they have much to learn in regard to the necessity of moving carefully and guardedly. In their self-confidence, they make many mistakes. Thus, some have received harm from which they will never recover. This has been the case with several who have felt competent to establish and conduct sanitariums. Failure comes to them, and when they find themselves involved in debt, they ask the Medical Missionary Association to take over the unsuccessful institution and to assume its liabilities. This is not the wisest policy, for henceforward, such sanitariums are bound up with the General Association on terms that are not best either for them or for the General Association. It does harm to the Medical Missionary Association to take over so many bankrupt sanitariums. Let those who have conducted these sanitariums and who have walked in false paths begin to think sensibly. Let not failure be written upon them. This spoils the courage of good men. Men who might have done well if they had consecrated themselves to God, if they had been willing to work in a humble way, enlarging their business slowly, and refusing to go into debt, have made a failure because they have not worked on right lines. And after getting into difficulty, they have sold out as men incompetent to manage. They desired relief from financial pressure and did not stop to think of the after results. Those who help such ones out of difficulty are tempted to bind them with such strong cords in the shape of pledges that ever after they feel that they are bond slaves. They seldom outgrow the reputation of poor management and failure. To those who thus become involved in debt, I am instructed to say, do not give up if you are moving in right lines. Work with all your power to relieve the situation yourselves. Do not throw an embarrassed institution upon an association that is already heavily burdened with debt. It is best for every sanitarium to stand in its own responsibility.
Those who have charge of our sanitariums should move guardedly. There are times when they will see little increase. Let them act with wisdom and tact and adaptability. Let them study and practice the instruction Christ gave in regard to building a tower. Forethought is of far more value than afterthought, when a neglect of wise calculations and careful management is plainly seen to result in failure. Managers who are slack, who do not know how to manage, should be separated from the work. Secure the services of men and women who know how to bind about the edges so that the work shall not ravel out. Let all who are connected with our institutions humble themselves before God. Let them ask God to help them to plan so wisely and economically that the institutions will take firm root and will bear fruit to God's glory. Depend not on men. Look to Jesus. Continue in prayer and watch unto prayer with thanksgiving. Be sure that you have a close connection with Christ. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Matthew 18, verse 23-35. This scripture contrasts God's compassion in dealing with those in error with man's harshness in dealing with similar cases. The one to whom so much had been forgiven forgot his fears after he had received forgiveness and acted the part of an oppressor toward his fellow servant. Let not such a representation as this be seen among Seventh-day Adventists. Let us learn from this lesson to walk and work in the love of Christ, to conduct all our business on His lines. God will not sanction the work of those whose dealing is like that of the servant who refused to forgive when he himself had been forgiven. Christ is the light of the world. He says, Walk in the light while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. John 12, verse 35. None but the world's Redeemer can understand what it cost to stand at the head of the human family, to take our nature on himself, that, by partaking of his divine nature, we might stand on vantage ground with God. Through Christ's merits, man, though degraded by sin, may render perfect obedience to God's commandments, overcoming the corruption that is in the world through lust. Man has not a right to do with himself as he chooses, as his natural inclinations may dictate. We owe it to ourselves and to God to develop a character like the character of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but about everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. In view of the great sacrifice made in his behalf, man is to live in a way that will bring the greatest honor to God. He is to give a representation of God that will be a complete contrast to the representation Satan has given of him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. Why do we not realize the great possibilities before us? Thousands upon thousands will perish because they lose sight of what they might be through a personal acceptance of Christ, through faith in his power to redeem them and to restore in them the image of the Creator. The Lord has a right to our services. If we do not place ourselves under his control, acknowledging that we are his property and that he has a right to our services, he will not acknowledge us as his before God and the angels when it will be for our eternal interest to be thus acknowledged. Will Christ's blood-bought subjects realize that all they have is a loan from him who says, And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. John 12, verse 32. He gives men and women his gifts that they may be enabled to point sinners to him. Will those thus privileged remember that they are stewards of the grace of God, and that they are under obligation to him wisely to improve every capability? Unless the gifts God has bestowed on us are used aright, they are of no service to him. However great the gift, it is worthless unless it is used.
The most highly endowed human being can fulfill God's purpose only as he purifies himself from all selfishness, all greed, all worldly ambition. His one work is to see the salvation of sinners. In this work, he must do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with his God. In no case is he to seek to exercise the prerogatives of God. Never is he to be conscience for other men. The lowliest talent, the humblest service, if consecrated to God, is an influence that advances his kingdom. He who thinks and speaks with a desire to do his best for the Master glorifies and honors him before men and angels. There are only two parties in our world, those who serve God and those who serve the enemy of God. When men allow the enemy to control them, all their capabilities are used against the giver. The time of reckoning is soon to come. Then it will be seen whether we have used our entrusted talents on the side of God or on the side of the enemy. I have much to say on these subjects, but at another time. The point upon which I wish to dwell now is the terms of the document that has been presented to me. Those who formulated the terms of this document could not have been under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. What would the result be if man took himself under his own control and followed his natural tendencies in dealing with those who, after signing this document, failed of complying with its terms? God forbid that those in his service shall ever be left to the mercy of man. Let no man seek to bring the minds of his fellow men under his control. I feel pained as I think of how many are binding themselves up with secret societies, perverting the precious gifts of God, using them to strengthen the very thing that God condemns. We are to array ourselves against these confederacies. Every jot and tittle of the influence man has is given him to be used in God's service. Those who do not use God's gifts in a way that honors him are under a deception that will end in their ruin unless they make a change. If I had strength, I should write more on this subject. But at present, my work is to say that to bind all our sanitariums under one association is giving men power that it is not God's will that they should have. I must lift my voice against all confederacies. All ye are brethren. Matthew 23, verse 8. Put not your signature to agreements that will bind our sanitariums up with one association, for this God forbids.